Yes.
Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Natural Resources Committee for April 13th, 2017. And we have a good list of folks asking to testify. So I'm going to try to do it a little better than I did the last time, quite frankly, and get people through. But we need to get as many folks as possible through. So I'm going to try to limit it to 2 minutes. That's okay. And that way we can get people through for sure and questions. I'm also going to start off by inviting people who have traveled more than 100 miles to be here. So Tom Wolf is not going to be able to make it up here right away. Just want you to know.
And how many members was that?
We're still waiting to see the
pictures. His members may be here, but I'm not going to ask him right away. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to formally open the public hearing on Senate Bill 5542. This involves the Water Resources Department. So I think I'll call Mark Owens and let's see who else. Patrick Griffith. There's a panel of folks from there. Let's make it Timothy Gross, if possible. Thank you. And please, if you'd introduce yourself, and you've got 2 minutes, please, sir. And where in Harney County are you from?
Crane, Oregon, Harney County.
Crane, I know. Crane, yes. Where you're
from. Sheriff Frederick and Sheriff Witt, and members of the committee, thanks for having me here today. And my name is Mark Owens, and the address is P.O. Box 746, Crane, Oregon, 97732. And I'm here to support the Oregon Water Resource Department budget. I'm Harney County Commissioner and a Harney County farmer. I have 2 minutes, so I'll go a little off the cuff here. There's a lot of things going on in Harney County with water planning. May 2015, the department came in and said they're going to no longer process any more new permits. The current state of the knowledge in Harney County is that we probably are over-allocated in all our parts of our basin. Those studies were done in the late 60s and early 70s. So now the Water Resource Department has teamed up with the USGS to do a water investigation in our community. While that water investigation is going on, it won't be completed until 2022. We are doing a community-based planning. As you guys know, it's a pilot grant from the Water Resource Department for 4 communities from the state. One of those communities is ours. Our goal or our vision for community-based planning is a sustainable, managed, quality water source for people, economic, and environment. So while that's going on, we need the Water Resource Department's budget to be fully funded, so those processes will continue. There's one thing that I would like to focus on today is the Draining Oregon articles back last summer stated that the Water Resource Department does not have a plan for the future. I'm here today to tell you that is wrong. They do have a plan for the future, and their involvement with my community has proven that. And the area in the budget today on helping communities plan for water needs, Package 104, Package 109, and Package 1010 also goes to support that. Package 104 states we'll give them the ability to have the FTE that is needed for a continuum of community-based planning or place-based planning. Package 109 will allow grants for feasibility projects and studies, which will be an outcome of all water planning throughout the state. And Package 1010 will allow the funds for those projects and plans to actually be implemented. For if we don't actually implement projects and plans, we are wasting the state's resource in planning. So I encourage you guys to fully support the Water Resource Department's budget, because they do have a vision for the future, and the state can help ensuring that future by the support of their budget. One last real quick item. There's been a lot of conversation about the urban-rural divide in Oregon. In Harney County, we like to call it the urban-rural and maybe frontier divide. The greatest way that you could support the frontier economy in Harney County is by supporting the water tools that we need for sustainability. For there's not a farmer or rancher that I talk to throughout the state in Harney County that doesn't want to use water in a sustainable way. But without those tools and that knowledge, we are very hurting in that area. So please support the Water Resource Department budget. I'd entertain any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Owens. I think what we'll do is we'll wait and let Mr. Gross speak first, and then we'll go from there.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to present today. My name is Tim Gross. I'm the Director of Public Works and the City Engineer for the City of Newport. Newport's located in the Central Oregon Coast, and some people question whether we really have water problems or not because we get an awful lot of rainfall each year. Unfortunately, in the Central Oregon Coast, it's a little bit different than the rest of Oregon in that it's more of a matter of being able to store that water resource for the moment that you need it. The summer times are quite dry. The winter times are very rainy. And so it's all about storage. The City of Newport has two reservoirs and two dams, Big Creek dams. We have the illustrious title of having the number 2 and 3 highly deficient dams in Oregon, and we've been working with water resources to try and remediate those structures. And so I want to endorse package 102 and the addition of additional staff in the dam resource or the dam safety department. Not only the technical resources they provided for us, but the advocacy they provided for us for funding has been really critical for our community. And without those, I don't know if we would, at a town of 10,000 people, be able to handle reservoir projects of that size. Furthermore, the City of Newport is also one of the co-conveners in the place-based planning exercise, and the staff that Water Resources has provided in that exercise has allowed us to be able to collaborate and reach out to other water distributors on the coast. It's an unusual location in that there's not a common river that everybody draws water from. Rather, there's lots of micro tributaries that people are drawing water from. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. There's lots of small little water providers, and the place-based planning exercise has given us the opportunity to be able to get together and talk about common needs, how to manage our water resources holistically instead of looking at it individually, and how we can maybe look at some regional opportunities for sharing water. And so it's very important that we have the advocacy from Water Resources and the staff to be able to assist in that. I have provided my testimony in a written format, so I'm going to submit it as part of the record. But I just wanted to say that in closing that I think Water Resources operates differently than many of the state agencies I work with. Fortunately, as a public works director, I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. And they come alongside small communities and help us with their technical resources and advocacy and funding to allow us to be able to manage water resources. That's not necessarily typically the way that some of the state agencies work. And so I feel like we have a great relationship there. I want to continue that relationship, and I feel that they really go as far as they can to be able to assist the people who are kind of boots on the ground, like the City of Newport, be able to handle their water resources in a wise and effective manner, and to be able to help us with the financial resources to be able to manage assets that are beyond the ability of small towns to often handle. So I thank you for this opportunity, and I'll open up for any questions as well.
Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, how has it had much of an effect on your water tables now that they're starting to work on the Western Juniper? Because I know up by Bob Smith's ranch, must have taken out, I don't know, 100 acres or maybe a couple hundred acres. I don't know. Just took out the juniper. But, I mean, is that having an effect?
Chair and Representative, it will have effect until we stabilize our actual output of our groundwater. Our wells have been declining, but the juniper, as you know, can use up over 100 gallons of water if available a day. So the upwind approach of junipers is a huge concern on trying to get more sustainable water supply. So I think it will have effect. We just can't measure it yet with the amount of wells that are pumping water.
Follow up?
Yes, go ahead.
I remember when I was 8-10 years old, I spent a summer at the Moon Ranch with my grandpa. And I remember seeing artesian wells in the middle of the desert. And I hope that that still happens in the future.
I think it will. Okay. And one thing, we get rid of the juniper, it's also good for the sage grouse. So it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you very much. And that's we continue to talk about how we can deal with the juniper. Any other suggestions you have would be most welcomed. So thank you. Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Owens, how far is your round trip today?
Oh, I think it's 605 miles.
605 miles. Sir, I just want to say how much we appreciate you putting that amount of time behind the wheel to come and speak to us here today.
I appreciate it, and that just it goes to show my support for the balance that the Water Resource Department has and the encouragement that they have given our community. Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank both of you. I'm going to call up John Buckley and Les Perkins.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chairman Frederick, Co-Chairman Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Buckley, and I am the manager of East Fork Irrigation District, located in Odell, Oregon, in the Hood River Basin. I am here today to testify in support of the Water Resources Department funding programs for planning, feasibility, and implementation of the water projects. In 2016, East Fork Irrigation District was awarded a grant for a little over $566,000 from the Water Supply Development Account for our Highline Canal Pipeline Project. The Highline Canal Pipeline Project will pipe the 12,000-foot Highline Lateral Diversion Ditch. When complete, this project will improve in-stream flows and water quality on the East Fork Hood River, increase operational efficiency, and improve irrigation water reliability. Additionally, the project will result in a half a cubic feet per second conserved water allocation, which will directly benefit the stream reached below East Fork's Irrigation District's diversion, one of the best spawning and rearing habitats on the East Fork of the Hood River. East Fork Irrigation District's Highline Canal Pipeline Project is a highly worthwhile project that will provide economic, social, and environmental benefits to the local watershed and the users that rely upon it, as well as the broader population of Oregon. It will place valuable water in stream, adding both quality and quantity benefits to the Hood River Basin. This will benefit the watershed habitat. Specifically, it will improve habitat conditions for native populations of spring Chinook salmon and winter steelhead and coho. The Highline Canal Pipeline Project is a type of conservation project that is an essential element to implementations of the Integrated Water Resources Strategy and the Department's ongoing efforts to meet Oregon's long-term water needs, both in-stream and out-of-stream. It will directly impact and improve conditions for native fish species and support the natural hydrograph while ensuring that the needs of irrigated agriculture are still met. I would like to point out that the East Forks Highline Canal Pipeline, one of three Hood River Basin projects to rank in the top 10 applicants during the 2016 funding cycle for the Water Supply Development Account, which speaks volumes to the importance of local planning. Prior to the implementation of the place-based planning program through the Water Resources Department, Hood River, in partnership with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, completed a basin study. As a result of that local basin study, Hood River identified current and future water needs and has a list of recommended actions from the study that will benefit the entire basin. Hood River's ability to put their basin study into action highlights the importance of local planning, followed by the necessity for funding to take that information and move forward with feasibility and implementation of needed projects. Finally, I would like to add that East Fork Irrigation District, back in 2002 through 2008, was involved with installing about a 4.5 mile of large diameter pipe that totaled to be about a $4.5 million project. This project put back in stream into the East Fork of Hood River 2 cubic feet per second of water. It was a combination of several partners such as OWEB, Bureau of Reclamation, which was a grant 2025, along with others, with the help of a DEQ loan that made this possible. My point is that another grant such as the Water Resources Department funding program makes this possible for future project. The district has only one headworks, and our water comes from the northeast slopes of Mount Hood. Piping the remainder of the open 26 miles of the district is a must situation. Oregon Water Resources Department funding sources, with all the help of the districts in the state of Oregon, fulfill many of the needs and which to partner other grants for piping and many, many other needs. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. Yes.
Chairs and members of the committee, my name is Les Perkins. I'm the manager of Farmers Irrigation District in Hood River, Oregon, just another fork of the Hood River that we draw from. I'm also a Hood River County Commissioner. And so I was going to talk today just a little bit briefly about my role from the county perspective and then our experiences in the Irrigation District. So as John mentioned, we were able to garner it was $250,000 from Water Resources for our basin study. And we got another $250,000 from the Bureau of Reclamation. And with that $500,000, we were able to complete a basin study in 2014. And what that document did for us was to lay out the groundwork and the framework for which we were going to move forward in terms of projects in the future. And so from that, our district, Farmers Irrigation District, was able to get a feasibility grant for expanding our reservoir. And now we have also received funding, $3 million, in the same funding cycle that John received his funding. And with that, we've put 2.2 miles of pipe in the ground, which is putting over half a CFS back in the stream through an allocation of conserved water. And we're expanding our reservoir. We're just about doubling our reservoir. And I believe we were the only reservoir project funded through the first round of funding. So we'll be expanding our reservoir, which will give us the ability to serve our patrons even through drought cycles, and which is extremely important. With the type of crops grown in the Hood River County, they're not annual crops, they're perennials, so they're trees. And you can't cut your water out in a drought year. You have to continue watering your crops all the way through. And so for us, there were years where we had to put our growers under rotation. And so this funding allows us to do what's going to end up being about a $4.2 million dam raise for our reservoir that's going to allow our growers to know that they'll have water into the future even under the most severe drought cycles. So I just want to say we were able to, as a basin, we're a good example of what you can do when you use place-based planning. You move it through, get some feasibility studies on the projects that you propose, and then actually take that money and put it on the ground. So for our basin, agriculture is the largest sector of our economy. And so knowing that we have water into the future, as well as being able to protect species in the stream, is vitally important. Without the water resources funding, we couldn't do that. We typically match grant funding, like water resources funding, with loan funds. So we use DEQ Clean Water State Revolving Loan Fund and match it with grant funds. And so without the grant funding portion, we would be years and years behind where we are now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Representative Helm.
Les, good to see you again. Which reservoir is going to be raised?
It's the Kingsley Reservoir. So we actually have two. They're relatively small. Okay. So we're going from 700 acre feet to 1,350 acre feet with our upper reservoir, which is very small in relation to some other state or some other counties in terms of their water that they have stored. But for us, it's going to make all the difference in the world.
And the piping, follow up?
Go ahead.
And the piping has allowed you to do less of a dam raising than you would have otherwise had to do.
It does, and it allows us some operational flexibility. So in years where the water that we take, where that pipeline serves, that's actually a high priority stream for OWSW and the tribes, and so they like to see water left in that stream. So with the reservoir expansion, we're able to leave water in stream where the tribes and ODFW want it, and then utilize reservoir water late in the season.
Yeah. This is such a win-win, Mr. Chair. When we pipe these canals, which were built out of necessity maybe around the early part of the 20th century, we get all these multiplier effects, both economic and just getting out from under the cloud of potentially having to comply with the Endangered Species Act. It's just a great use of our public money.
If I may, I'll throw in one more little piece for you. When you pipe canals, it decreases your operation and maintenance costs. So for districts like us who are struggling to maintain staff, we've gone from 14, we're down to 8. I would say within the next 5 years, we'll probably be down to 6 or 7 staff members, so which allows us to keep our rates reasonable for our farmers and allows us to keep going into the future.
Well, thank you again. Appreciate it, both of you.
Thank you.
I'm going to call up a panel here because we have someone who's from Bend, Patrick Griffiths, Mark Landauer, and Tracy Ritter. Oh, Tracy.
Hi.
Sorry.
I'm glad you Patrick's writing. Do you want to go first?
Thank you.
Go ahead. Okay. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, Tracy Ritter with the League of Oregon Cities. Thank you today for the opportunity to testify. Here today on behalf of our 241 cities, many of which provide drinking water to their citizens. I really cannot tell you enough how much we rely on the department and a fully functioning, well-funded water resources department in terms of our ability to provide drinking water to our citizens, as well as providing economic development opportunities and really looking to them and relying upon them to help us really roll up our sleeves and try and solve some of the complicated water issues that we all know that we are facing now and will only get more challenging as we head into the future. And we really do appreciate the work that they've done. I do want to note this past year, LOC did conduct a survey of our membership to understand our infrastructure needs. We talk a lot about transportation in this building, you know, and being the water policy person, it becomes a little frustrating at times because we really would like to see, and I would like to see, a lot of focus on the water infrastructure needs that we have. In terms of what we got back from our members that responded to that survey, they identified over $9 billion of water and wastewater infrastructure needs for the next 20 years. Also, I think something that was noteworthy within that survey was an identification of 66% of them needing additional water supply storage in the next 20 years. It is critical for our ability to continue to provide that reliable drinking water, and also can have a lot of multiple benefits, as you all know, in solving some of these challenges that we all face. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I do want to note two specific packages. I know that Patrick and Mark will talk about some others. Package 100. I cannot really articulate how much we rely upon a fully funded transaction department. Many of you are aware of some issues and challenges that we've faced in municipal permit transactions, and seeing delays and backlogs in that regard for us is incredibly problematic. And I think that the department really has done an excellent job of addressing a lot of the backlogs. We want to see that progress continue to move forward. And so, again, very much supportive of that package and any additional funding. Certainly want to avoid any additional cuts to that particular function, as it's really critical for us. The other package I'll note is Package 105. This really does stem back to what we saw in 2015 in terms of drought. I will say that some of our communities really did demonstrate that they were prepared, that they had put in the time and the effort and the planning to be able to mitigate the impacts of drought. Others had not. I will give a lot of credit to the Water Resource Department and Raquel Ranciere. She was wearing many hats during that time. And again, not probably the best use of her resources, but a really critical function. There were other department staff that were throwing in their time and effort as they got a lot of media requests. And we really did try and struggle with how we were going to get through that year, which was very challenging for many. To have a field conservation coordinator, which that package 105 would fund, would be very helpful for us to make sure that our communities are better prepared for the next time we face a drought. So with that, I thank you for your time, and let Patrick talk.
Please. Thank you.
Co-chairs, committee, thank you. I'm Patrick Griffiths. I'm the water resources manager for the city of Bend. We have a town of 83,000, probably one of the fastest growing regions in the country. We're brewing good beer. We're putting water back in stream at the same time. We're working with our partners. We're doing everything we can to be collaborative, proactive, and smart with our dollars. We know that dollars invested in water have multiple payoffs in a variety of places, and I could talk about that for hours, but I'll spare you. I'm going to follow a little bit of advice that Representative Jensen gave me when I first testified in 2001. Patrick, keep water simple. You can quickly get in the weeds, and today I think the key messages are these. Number one, in our basin, there's no new water to allocate. Every drop is spoken for. If I want to drill a new well, City of Bend has 50% groundwater, 50% surface water. We are trying to be smarter with that. We're also looking at conservation as a source of supply. But if I want to drill a new groundwater well, I have to mitigate. For every gallon I pull out, I have to put a gallon in the river. There's no place to go for that but an existing water right. That makes the department's job pretty delicate. Secondly, core services are what keep the motor running. And when I say core services, when I deal with water rights every day, that's my job, I have to get transactions done. Those transactions underpin hundreds of millions of dollars of infrastructure, whether it's an irrigation district, whether it's a city, whether it's a conserved water project, all that water going in stream. If you don't have transactions coming out of that department consistently well done, you don't want to redo them. You don't want retroactive legal issues. You don't want retroactive bills coming at you. You want to make sure you get it right. And a well-functioned, well-funded department will help us continue to do that. Third, I have now been at this water game for about 20 years, and here's a couple of key observations. I have never seen a better team at the department. They know what they're doing. All of the direction that I see is good. We participated. Our city council was enlightened enough to know that this department needed help. We spared staff time. We continue to support the department in all their planning efforts. We were at the policy advisory group meeting. We think the integrated water resource strategy is a great first step. There are key pieces that need funding, and I think the budget really speaks to each of those things, and I won't reiterate them today. You'll hear more about that. Third thing I want to tell you is our basin has benefited from Senate Bill 839 funds. We have a basin study going on. We got $750,000 from that, matched with Bureau of Reclamation dollars. We've got tons of in-kind from all of the cities, 9 Central Oregon cities, 8 districts, tribes, and all the agencies that work with us. We're doing really good work. We're closing in on it. Here's the other big story. We're going to need about $1 billion and climbing to fix a basin. That's a pretty darn good investment, in my opinion, when you can meet all of the needs for that kind of investment. As Gail Ackerman used to say, for the price of an interchange in Portland, you can fix an entire basin. That's a darn good investment for the region. So with that, I'll close and be happy to answer questions anytime now or in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Frederick, Chair Witt, members of the committee. Mark Landauer here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Much has been said already. I would like to reemphasize the need for an operational transaction department. House Bill 2295, I believe, is residing in this subcommittee, which would increase the transaction fees. I was in the room when we originally cut the deal on increasing the fees every 4 years based on a 50-50 cost allocation, and would just humbly suggest that moving that bill forward will be able to maintain the bodies in the transaction department that we need in order for that department to be very functional. The second thing I want to do is also sort of tag on to what Mr. Griffith said. I've been working with the Water Resources Department for quite some time. Their staff has been excellent. I've been through many, many rulemaking processes. I have to say, I've spent more time at the department than probably any other agency. They're doing a fantastic job under difficult circumstances. Over the years, they have been underfunded, in my opinion. And I think that they're beginning to get back on their feet now. You've got good, solid people working there who are trying to do the right thing. And hopefully, due to the lack of funding in the previous years, we can avoid some of the challenges that we're trying to address actually in this building now. So thank you very much. Be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? No? Thank you very much. I'm going to call up... Let me call up Jeff Stone and April Snell. Jeff here?
Jeff's not here. My apologies.
Oh, okay. Then let's have Jerry Schmidt. Thank you.
For the record, April Snell, Executive Director of the Oregon Water Resources Congress, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee, really appreciate your time today. We did submit testimony for the record. I won't repeat all of that. I will just simply highlight a few things for your consideration and then leave the bulk of the time for the other fine folks behind me. So the Water Resources Congress, we represent irrigation districts and other similar entities around the state, and we are here in robust support of the water resources budget for the 2017-2019 biennium. And as mentioned in my written testimony, we view the budget as a holistic package. And while today you are hearing testimony on Senate Bill 5542, there are other elements of the budget that are important that will be heard in capital construction, and so my testimony is really on the bulk of the program as a whole. And that is because we feel that having adequate general fund to support the core functions of the Water Resources Department, along with a modest bonding package to support innovative water projects, is needed to ensure the sustainable management of our water resources today and into the future. And so there are a couple of key funding areas that I just want to highlight. And the big one is making sure that there's not only available funding, but adequate staff resources to continue the community planning, the feasibility, and the implementation of innovative water projects through those three separate pots of money. Each step is integral to not only my members, the irrigators they work with, but also the communities all around the state. We need to have more investment to ensure that we're prepared for more extreme weather events and growing population and things of that nature. And while I know that the resources for the Water Resources Department are limited, and you guys are having to make some tough choices this session in balancing the budget, investing in these areas will pay dividends and will help leverage other available funds, especially potential federal funding that might come available for water infrastructure projects. So it's really important that Oregon is poised to take advantage of those different opportunities. Beyond the funding for planning, feasibility, and implementation of water projects, it's also extremely important that the department has the resources to continue collecting data and understanding our water resources. You heard from the folks in Eastern Oregon and how crucial it is that the department has the resources to learn more about groundwater and be able to give communities the information they need to plan. And there are the packages 101 and packages 105. Those contain essential data collection as well as maximizing the existing field staff presence. And those are the folks that are on the ground charged with making sure that water is being used both in-stream and out-of-stream in the manner that is supposed to. And it's really important that those folks are out there doing those important activities. The other piece is making sure that there are efficient processing of water rights transactions. And as was mentioned by my colleague Mark Landauer, the transaction fee bill is also before this committee, and that is an important balance of user fees paying for those services as well as general fund. And while no one's a big fan of fees, and these fees are being increased to cover current service levels, we recognize that it's important for the Water Resources Department to have the staff they need to be able to process these transactions in a timely manner. And if they are not able to do that, those delays can have very severe impacts to our irrigation districts and the water users they serve who are trying to grow food and fiber for our wonderful state. So lastly, I'll just simply say that this is an investment in today's water as well as making sure that we have water in the future. And while we're not in a drought situation this year, events like what we've seen in the last few years are likely to become more frequent. And the Water Resources Department, with their capable staff and their new innovative funding programs, have a great opportunity to help communities around the state better plan and better work together so that irrigators, cities, and environmental groups are working to solve these problems collectively and leveraging the scarce resources we have. So with that, I thank you very much for your time. Happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Schmidt. I am here representing the Oregon Groundwater Association. We are the only game in town at this point, since it seems like our surface water is all used up. So my men and women employed by the groundwater industry include manufacturers and suppliers that supply all the equipment, consulting hydrogeologists that actually look at the data that the department produces and then try to help our clients come up with a constructive solution in order to move the ball forward. I've been doing this for a couple of years, pretty close to 30, and this is probably my swan song. I probably won't be back next session, but one of the fortunate things I've been able to see is a progression in the department and the fact that we've getting more and more skilled workers. I think Senator Girard brought it up in a questioning about why are we getting higher level folks. In other words, the salary structures keep going up. Well, they're trying to attract some better qualified folks, and a lot of this stuff is very sophisticated, takes an extremely good background in order to move forward. So I gave you a couple, two, 3 points that I wanted to kind of concentrate on because the Secretary of State's audit, which I think the department did a good job of trying to put a positive spin, and I think it is a positive spin. You take a performance audit and you try to make improvements, and I think that's what they're trying to do. In the three little bullet points I made, I talked a little bit about the observation well network. I've talked about that every session, trying to get it expanded, get a better water data so that we have more information to work with. Unfortunately, it hasn't moved forward in a great detail, but I keep making the plug that we need to do this better and get more data into the system. Again, it was Senator Girard, I think, that asked the question about can we make some analysis from long-range data to see if we got cyclical problems and that type of thing. That's exactly what a hydrograph will do. They take measurements on a particular well two or three times a year. That data goes into the system. They do it for 15, 20 years. We have a good database. We can find out what's happening. In a lot of cases in groundwater, we see a decline. It may not be a full decline. It may be temporary. And in fact, we see a reverse sometimes. We in the valley here, we've had municipal wells pull off, and all of a sudden the aquifer jumps up. So there is lots of information to gain, and these are great activities. I also commented a little bit about the well construction. That's part of my members are well constructors, and there's some issues there that we would like to see a little bit more improvement in, and the department is working at accomplishing these activities. Finally, I did produce a copy of a statute that kind of emphasized to the department the ability to work with all the different groups, whether it's stakeholders, the commission, in other words, reviewing activities that the department does so that the public has a chance to participate. So I'm not going to comment anymore. That this is all online. You guys can read it later. So I thank you for the opportunity. There is a higher level of professionalism at the department since I've been around. And again, I support their activities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions? No? Thank you very much. I'm going to ask that Brent Stevenson and Suzanne DiLorenzo.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, committee. I'm Suzanne DiLorenzo. I am the Water Quality and Conservation Manager at Clackamas River Water. I also do their public outreach and other conservation messaging. I'm also the chair of the Oregon Water Utility Council, and I participate on the 2016 Integrated Water Resources Strategy Policy Advisory Group and also the Drought Task Force. All that being said, I'm here on my own behalf and not at that of any of the organizations or institutions that I'm affiliated with. Now, I know it seems utterly absurd to talk about drought in a year like we're having, but I encourage you all to think back to 2015, when we had 4 consecutive years of reduced snowpack, reduced rainfall, that led us into one of the worst droughts we'd seen in a decade. Now, in the metro area, a lot of the water providers were well prepared. We have water management conservation plans. We have curtailment components with them. We have robust outreach. But what none of those providers were prepared for were the subtle nuances that come with communicating drought in a small geographic area. Even in a small area, not all watersheds are created equal. That's complicated when it comes to communication. So while we need really broad messaging, that's great. We absolutely need that for a state. They also need to be tailored down for individual water users and water providers. Now, seeing this problem, those water providers in the metro area have come together, even when we have 138% of normal snowpack, to work on how they are going to develop this messaging in the future moving forward. And so I'm here in support specifically of Package 105 and that conservation coordinator. Because it's not those larger providers that actually have the resources to develop these plans. It's those smaller providers that encompass a vast swath of the state of Oregon and serve hundreds and thousands of people of water, but don't necessarily have the technical resources to develop these communication plans. And this is hugely important moving forward. So while the position is titled Conservation Coordinator, it's much more than that. So don't get very focused on the conservation piece, because a lot of times that's seen as unimportant. What this position is going to do is it's going to help explain or detail or communicate water management. It's going to communicate conservation in general. It's going to communicate public outreach. It'll be a resource. During 2015, we have a lot of brilliant and talented people in the Water Resources Department that wear many, many, many hats. And they're all pulled off of their jobs to try and answer these questions. And they did the best they could. But effective outreach and communication is proactive, not reactive. It's something that needs to be developed ahead of time and communicated effectively over time. Oregonians, I found in my position, want to be informed. They want to know what's going on. But they need resources to do so sometimes. And so I encourage you to support Package 105. And I am here for any questions now or in the future.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Would you please, sir?
Yes. Co-chair Frederick, co-chair Rouet. For the record, my name is Brent Stevenson. I manage Santiam Water Control District, state in Oregon. We're an irrigation district primarily, serve 17,000 acres in the state and in Salem area. But in addition to our irrigation functions, we also serve water for agricultural, wildlife, wetland use, generate hydropower, deliver water to the city of Staten for domestic purposes. So we have a great interaction with our Water Resources Department. I'd just like to, you've heard from our colleagues, and I'd like to reiterate our strong support for Senate Bill 5542. I've been in the water business, irrigation business, for a couple decades now on both sides of the states, and just want to convey our reliance on a robust and active department. We rely on them for transactions, guidance, and everything that they do. So,
thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions? No? All right. Thank you very much, both of you. I'm going to call up Paige Spence and Bob Van Dyke.
Co-chairs Frederick and Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bob Van Dyke, and I work for the Wild Salmon Center. We're a salmon conservation organization. I live in Forest Grove, and we're headquartered in Portland, but we work all across the Pacific Rim. Salmon, of course, need water, and they need cold water, and so that's why I'm here today to talk about this budget. Two packages I want to emphasize. One is Package 101, which is the governor's recommendation for groundwater funding, and the second is Package 105 that you've heard a little bit about already, which is about enhanced field capacity among the four water masters and hydrologic technicians. I guess there's two things I'd like to add today that came up. One is, if you look at the Water Resources 2015 projection on water use in the state, it's going to go up 15% over the next 50 years. And we know why, because Oregon's an awesome place to live, and people keep moving here. There are going to be new businesses starting. There are going to be new crops grown. We're going to keep growing in Oregon, or at least we all hope. So there's going to be more demand for water. And secondly, I'd call attention to the third Oregon Climate Assessment Report. It just came out in January, and it's really a sobering read. There's a chapter in there on water resources. I'll just read a sentence from it. Warming temperatures, changes in precipitation, and decreasing snowpack are already having and will continue to have significant impacts on hydrology and water resources in Oregon. Okay, well, we're growing, we're going to need more water, and then we've got climate change, changing when it falls, how much it falls, how it falls. They follow that up on page 17 by saying these changes in supply and demand are expected to strain the ability to meet the many and varied water needs of Oregonians, namely irrigation, municipal drinking water, industrial activities, hydropower, flood control, fisheries, wildlife recreation, the whole gamut. So I guess I'm here to say that these groundwater studies and these water masters are essential for us to know how much water we have and how we're using the water. And if we don't have that baseline information, we are bound to make mistakes, which we'll then have to pay for later, and we'll get into situations we've got in places like the Umatilla and the Klamath, where we've had a lot of conflict about water. So I'd encourage you to do that. Think about doing that investment now up front. It takes a while to do these studies, the groundwater studies, so the earlier we start on them, the earlier we'll have the information we need. I think that's all I have to share today. I've submitted some information for the record as well, and obviously I'm happy to answer questions if anybody has any. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, Paige.
Good afternoon, Chair Frederick, Chair Witt, and members of the committee, including Rep. Lewis, who I can hardly see. Hi. For the record, my name is Paige Spence, and I'm the director of the Oregon Conservation Network at the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. Several groups testifying here today are part of the Oregon Conservation Network, including Wild Salmon Center, Oregon Environmental Council, League of Women Voters of Oregon, Water Watch, and Trout Unlimited. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of the budget bill for the Water Resources Department. As the legislature and the governor's office consider reductions to this budget, we encourage the consideration of the department's value in protecting Oregon's precious water resources. In order to preserve this resource for future Oregonians, we have to prioritize our natural resource agency budgets today. OCN is supportive, particularly of a number of policy option packages that should go a long way to protect Oregon's water. The first is Package 100, which would maintain the current fee schedule for water right transactions and the dam safety fee. Package 101, the water basin study. Package 102 and 103, dam and well construction inspectors. Package 104 for place-based planning coordinators. Package 105 for water masters. And Package 106 for payroll shared services. And I will let the policy groups here today who are part of OCN go into more detail on those. But in conclusion, the Oregon Conservation Network asks that the subcommittee support this bill and approve the Water Resources Department's proposed budgets. We believe that the department's work is of vital importance to our members and to all Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this panel? No? Thank you very much. I'm going to call Kimberly Priestley and Tom Wolf.
Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee, my name is Kimberly Priestley. I'm here representing Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch is a river conservation group that works to restore and protect stream flows statewide. We have submitted written testimony that outlines the many the packages that we support, so I won't repeat myself here, but I did want to highlight a few points in my 2 minutes. First, I cannot stress enough the importance of the Water Resources Department's work to all Oregonians. Whether farmer, city, industry, commercial fishermen, recreationalists, conservationists, the department's work is critical to meeting both in-stream and out-of-stream needs into the future. The need for the department's work is highlighted in the Integrated Water Resources Strategy, which some other presenters have talked about today. That strategy was adopted by the Commission in 2012, and it was a direct result of legislative mandate that passed in 2009. The strategy sets forth a broad array of recommendations to help the state meet the needs of agriculture, industry, cities, and fish and wildlife into the future. The strategy has four primary objectives. First, to understand Oregon's water resources today. Second, to understand Oregon's in-stream and out-of-stream needs. Third, to understand coming pressures that affect our needs and supplies, including, among other things, climate change. And fourth, finally, to meet Oregon's in-stream and out-of-stream needs. I think it's noteworthy that three of these four goals are directly tied to data and or science. And it is our belief that this reflects, you know, the views of the very broad stakeholder group that developed the plan as well as the commission in understanding that to make good decisions, we need the science and we need the data. To that end, while the department's base budget will advance some of the recommendations of the strategy, the department needs more. And so I will, in looking at the packages above the base budget, we would ask that special attention be given to the key science, data, and field packages. The last two biennium, the governor's office, as well as the legislature, has focused a lot of attention and funding towards packages that promote water development. Less attention has been paid to bolstering the data and science needed to make good decisions and manage our water resources sustainably into the future, and we hope that we can add some balance this biennium. Of particular note, we would stress the need for additional funding for groundwater studies as found in Package 101. Others have spoken about this today, but I'll just say briefly that with surface water is nearly fully allocated across the state, groundwater is the new major supplier for new uses. I am out of time, so I will just quickly flag also that in addition to Package 101, we would like to take a moment to highlight Package 105, which would add 3 water masters, an organizer that other folks have talked about, and the hydrotech team. All of these positions are critical to secure Oregon's water future into the future. Thank you.
Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, committee members. For the record, my name is Tom Wolf. I'm here representing Trout Unlimited. And I just want to start off with a brief statement. I was coming home from a rather contentious day, and I got home around 9 o'clock after a lot of meetings. And as I was getting ready to go to bed, I was realizing that today would be the last time I will ever testify on an state agency budget, ever. I will still testify in this committee and other stuff, but this is it as far as testifying on agency budgets. And so I started to cry, and then I started doing a happy dance, and then I started to cry again. So I just want to share a couple things. First of all, Trout Unlimited is a cold water conservation group who is passionate with both its members and its staff on protecting our cold water resources, our wild fish, and the water that they dwell in. Specifically, and I've been told this by several people, we vastly underfund the Oregon Department of Water Resources compared to other agencies that do the same thing. We asked in a state where we have increasingly numbers of people that move into the state where we increasingly have stressors such as climate change, drought, and population growth. We're one of the fastest growing states in the union, and over half the state is very, very dry. We have to avoid the impacts that these stressors are causing to our fish and to our people. Specifically, I want to mention two packages, Package 101 or 105, which is responsible water management. Other people have managed this. This would give more money for water masters and help with that. And this would be of particular interest to our people who work in the Klamath Basin. And then Package 101, which, as other people have mentioned, would deal with groundwater use, which is, as we've allocated surface water, groundwater has become increasingly important. You'll see in O-List, we've submitted written testimony with a lot more packages that we support and some more comments, and I hope you get a chance to read that. And in closing, I want to say, you know, as I get ready to ride off into the sunset and do whatever the heck I'm going to do when I retire, which usually involves a backpack, a fly rod, or a shotgun, I just want to say that funding our natural resource agencies is very important. Funding this natural resource agency is particularly important because, like you said, we live in a state that there's this myth that we have water all around it, but as we know, two-thirds of the state is dry. Two-thirds of the state, you know, we live, you know, people in Bend, the fastest growing part of Bend, a lot of it is dry. So we need to figure out a way to balance the needs of fish, the needs of people, the needs of farmland, and so that we can all share in the bounty that is Oregon. I urge you to pass this budget, and I urge you to think of the future of funding this agency with more and better funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Any questions? No? Thank you very much. I'm going to call up Peggy Lynch and Angela Crowley-McCall.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, and members of the committee. First of all, I want to thank you for listening to the League's comments on all of the Natural Resource Agency budgets. I know that other League members have been testifying on other state budgets. In all cases, we support efficiencies where you can find them. But we also firmly believe that this state needs more revenue to purchase the services such as education, public safety, and for those less fortunate, but also to protect our air, land, and water and the creatures living here, including us. So I hope that you will consider that as we move forward through the rest of the session. To the bill itself. There we have testimony on OLIS. I won't go through it. It is a thorough testimony, as usual. But first of all, I want to say that we support the general fund and lottery fund base budget. Our next priority is funding for data collection and meaningful analysis. Without having the meaningful analysis and the data to do that, we cannot make decisions about water storage, and Senator Girard mentioned the need for that. We totally agree. But we also need to support less expensive storage by using water conservation. So both tools need to have that scientific data. Not a part of the budget, but House Bill 2705 is a policy bill that requires additional measurement devices. And you heard in your discussion of the, in their discussion of the budget about KPMs, and I will again focus on them. We note that KPM number 8's goal is for 2,300 water measurement devices, and we are seriously behind in meeting that goal. Let me link it really quickly. On the other hand, KPM number 15, which is water rights reporting, is now meeting its goal. That jump in success is directly correlated to the monies that the department was given a couple of budget cycles ago. And that's the key reason for KPMs and the reason that we continue to pay attention to them. We support POP 104, which is place-based planning, and you have heard people who are actually doing that today. We need to continue that. We need to continue the program that's happening now, and we need to look to the future to continue that. We are concerned, however, that the Department of Environmental Quality budget has staff reductions in this area, and this is meant to be an exercise that talks about water quantity and quality and fish and wildlife and needs for municipal usage and agricultural usage. So we need everybody at the table. We support additional groundwater studies, POP 101. We support the additional field staff, 105. And we definitely support the water transaction fees and House Bill 2295. We also want to say that we're really interested in the dam safety inspections issue and POP 102, and we have testified in support of House Bill 3427 dealing with making plans for high-hazard dams. We support feasibility grants. We have watched them work over time. We do question the use of lottery bonds instead of general fund or dollars, but we get that that's probably where the money is going to come from. We're not going to make comments on POPs 110 or 107. We figure that other people will have those. 107 is the Umatilla one. We assume that you will not fund, you will not provide those positions if they are not funded by the county and by the Bureau of Reclamation. And lastly, POP 106, the payroll shared services. You have heard me say again and again, we need to have efficiencies. We need to make sure that we link agencies together. So it is really important as you consider this agency's budget. We provided in our testimony a link to a couple of documents. You have heard of the Integrated Water Resources Strategy. So I just want to show you this is the progress report. And it has, it says these are the things that have gotten done and things that haven't gotten done on that document. It has been a wonderful guide for this agency and for other agencies. And this is the draft work plan update. And again, it will tell you what has happened and what hasn't happened so far. This, I understand, is going to be updated in the near future as we see the next Integrated Water Resources Strategy update. So I wanted you to be aware of that and do the linkages amongst agencies. My continual message. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Angela Crowley-Cook. I'm the legislative director at Oregon Environmental Council. This is not my last time testifying on budgets. I will be before you many, many, many times. So OEC supports robust funding for the Water Resources Department. As you've heard, it provides vital services to manage and balance use of Oregon's waterways. But as noted in the December 2016 Secretary of State audit report, parts of the state are experiencing regular and severe water shortages. Of course, with climate change, that trend is expected to continue. So in order to ensure current and future sustainable management of our water supplies, the Water Resources Department must have the staffing and resources to gather and analyze data, conduct groundwater basin studies, and provide on-the-ground monitoring and balancing of water use. Specifically, we support the Water Resource Management Policy Package 101, adding new capacity for groundwater investigations. Honestly, we'd prefer to see even more funding than is proposed in Package 101. This is a really important thing that Oregon needs to do to really get a handle on our groundwater capacity. We also support full funding of Packages 105 and 107, increasing water management field staff statewide and in the Umatilla. We support policy packages 102 and 103 to protect public safety and water supplies to make sure our dams aren't falling apart. And lastly, we're really concerned about the potential reductions in the Water Resources Department related to data collection, analysis, and water management. So we really encourage you to review all of those cuts very carefully when you're putting together the budget. Specifically, the cuts in the Water Measurement Cost Share Program Revolving Fund, the cuts in for new observation wells and groundwater studies, cuts in gauging stations and in management and coordination positions. As you've heard all this afternoon, the Water Resources Department provides a lot of critical resources and capacity for the state, and we really need to make sure they have robust funding and capacity for their services. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for these two? Let me call up Mary Ann Nash then, please. Thank you.
Co-chairs Frederick Witt and members of the subcommittee, Mary Ann Nash here today on behalf of the Oregon Farm Bureau. Thank you for accommodating my late, my other hearings. We wanted to be here today, I think, along with everybody else, to express our support for the Water Resources Department budget. I have testimony in the record, so I won't belabor it, except to mention a couple key points about some of the packages. Package 100 for the transaction fee increase, we testified in support of House Bill 2295. For us, our support is critical upon maintaining that 50-50 match between fees and general fund, as well as not imposing additional fees on our water users. So with that, we support Package 100. Package 101 for groundwater studies, that has been something that's been critical to our members for the past several years, something we want to see increased and robust investment in. One point on that, we were very involved in the Harney Water, the Harney County ground or rulemaking and subsequent study development process. And through that, and I'm sure that Commissioner Owen spoke to this as well, they have a local group of landowners and others in the community that are meeting regularly with the department on the study. I think that is a great model for future studies and would like to see the department conduct future studies in that way with robust local engagement and regular check-ins with the community to make sure they're collecting data from the right points and that the eventual result of the study is going to be something that has a lot of community buy-in and that the community will rely on in addition to the Water Resources Department. Package 105 for Water Masters and Package 109 and 110, or that's supposed to be 110, my testimony, sorry, has a typo in it, for feasibility studies and grants and loans. As we are looking toward climate change and looking toward needing to increase resiliency, we think that water supply development will be critical to that, as well as increased conservation. And so we support increased state investment in that. We think there's a benefit to all Oregonians and all users from continued investment in infrastructure and supply development. So we'd like to continue to see the state support that in a major way. So with that, I'll conclude. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? No? Thank you very much. Are there any other folks who wanted to testify? Yes, please come forward. Okay.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee. My name is Bob Reese. I'm the Executive Director for the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. I also served on the task force on drought emergency response with several other folks in this room, including some legislators. Thank you for hearing our testimony. The Association of Northwest Steelheaders and the Northwest Guides and Anglers Association supports key funding elements in Senate Bill 5542, in particular Policy Option Package 101, supporting Governor Brown's $1.8 million for groundwater studies. Policy Option Package 105, which adds three regional managers that will enable better management of water rights, both in-stream and out-of-stream. And ask that you also please support a robust Water Resources Department budget, especially funding for the groundwater studies, observation wells, and gauging stations. We do place a high value on Oregon's agricultural community as well as our municipalities, but we also ask for equal value for the production needs of the $2.5 billion a year outdoor recreational industry, both hunting and fishing, as well as non-consumptive wildlife viewing. And, of course, the conservation needs of our fish and wildlife for future generations of Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? No? Thank you very much. Let's see. What do we have for tomorrow? Just let me close this hearing.
You're off tomorrow.
We're off tomorrow.
You can come here.
No, I'll be here, actually, but because we have four ways and means.
Oh, that's right.
The rest of you are off tomorrow.
We are gone tomorrow.
You're gone tomorrow. That's fine. Let me close this particular hearing right now, and we're closing the hearing for 5542. I want to thank everyone for being here and for testifying, and especially coming the distances that some of you did. Really, truly appreciate that. We have on Monday.
Chair Frederick, members of the subcommittee, on Monday you actually have the day off. There's no meeting scheduled.
No meeting scheduled for Monday.
That could change, but.
Oh, yeah.
No meeting scheduled. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, the 18th and 19th, we do have meetings scheduled. The first one on the 18th is for public testimony for the Department of Forestry.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
So we have a full day of public testimony to allow folks to talk about the Department of Forestry's budget. And then you've got on the 19th, Wednesday, we have the Department of Fish and Wildlife coming back in to finish their agency presentation and for the governor's for the Department of Administrative Services to present the governor's budget for Fish and Wildlife as well. And then on Thursday, we don't have a meeting scheduled as of yet, but as you know, that might change as we get next week.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank everyone. I'm going to close the subcommittee on natural resources for April 13th, 2017. Thank you. Thank you. April 13th, 2017.